Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode, maybe 3,000, maybe 5,000, maybe 5,000 V2, 5,000 part 3, 7,000 part 1, I don't know, it's something. We're just getting creative now, but anyways, this is a big one, man. UFC 281 post-show. We just had overall two crazy cards back-to-back, UFC 280 and UFC 281, in the span of like 3 or 4 weeks. That was insane. UFC 281 absolutely delivered. I started watching it. I basically watched the top 8 fights, and there were 8 finishes in those 8 fights. That was probably the only time I've ever seen that happen in my history of watching UFC, where I watched that many fights and there was that many consecutive finishes. And not to mention, like, my whole time watching was finishes. Like, there wasn't, you know, there wasn't 7 finishes in 8 fights. Like, it was 100%. So I don't know if the whole card was, because I didn't see the whole thing. I know they said there was a couple knockouts early on, ones that I missed before I was able to get in front of the TV. But 8 for 8, man, insane. That's insane. 281 was crazy, bro. I think they said that might have broken the previous record. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was history, having that many finishes in one card. But yeah, the whole main card, that was crazy, man. If anyone has complaints about that card, man, I honestly don't know what you want. You know what I mean? I don't really know, because that card had a mix of everything, man. That was good. I mean, look, Poirier and Chandler was absolutely insane. Great fight. I want to make it a point that I enjoyed that fight more than Chandler and Gaethje. I know a lot of people might be mad at that take, but I don't really care. I think that I like this fight better. I think this one was clearly the more competitive fight. I don't really think Chandler and Gaethje was the fight that it's made out to seem like, but I know that's a hot take, but it's all good. This is Lean Keys Real Thought, home of the hot takes. So it is what it is. You know, 281, Poirier and Chandler was incredible. I hope they both got 50K for that. Adesanya and Pereira, that was a pretty crazy fight, man. That's another one where it's like, if you didn't like that fight, regardless of the outcome, if you didn't like that fight, I don't really know what you're looking for. I mean, that, and especially if you're still like an Adesanya hater after that fight, I have no idea what you want, because, I mean, if anything in that fight, they were very, if you look at the overall stats, they were very closely matched. And it was competitive pretty much the entire time. I couldn't tell you how I had the rounds. I don't always pay attention to the rounds like that. Sometimes I'm just watching the fight, and I don't really think, it's not too often that I'm like judging the fight while I'm watching it, but I thought it was a very close fight. Obviously there was a finish in the 5th round, and that makes people think a little bit differently, but either way, those two dudes were very closely matched, and it was a thing where Adesanya, people made it seem, I saw a couple takes where people were saying that this was the best Adesanya they've seen, or that we possibly the best Adesanya we've ever seen. I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, overall, I think obviously he looked really good, but at the same time, I think he always looks really good. I don't know. I just think it's one of those things where people want to see guys in slugfest. I think that's really what it comes down to, and I think that plays a part in that take. Saying that is the best Adesanya we've ever seen, I think a large part of that comes from, like, you're a better fighter because you were in a slugfest, and I don't know if that's necessarily the truth. I think a lot of that is just people wanting to see Adesanya lose. So they're like, oh, now you want to say it's the best Adesanya when he lost? So, I don't know. We'll get into it more, though. Lee, you out here, bro?
Yeah, bro, I've been here.
What's good, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. Hey, every fight on that card was a finish except one. And one fight was a unanimous decision, I think.
And I'm going to say this, like, I don't know if you heard it, But every, like, from the time I started, it was 100% finishes. Like, I started with, the first fight when I sat down was, I think it was Molly McCann's fight, I think. Because it was that one, it was the Reyes fight, and I want to say there was one more. That was the main event of the prelims. But either way, it was, I watched 8 fights, I know that. So whether Molly, I think Molly might have been the first fight when I sat down, or it was the second fight. But either way, I watched 8 fights. I watched the main card, and I watched 3 fights of the prelims. And there was 8 finishes in those 8 fights. And I've never had that happen. I've never watched a card, and every fight I watched was a finish. I have not had that.
I don't remember that.
And that's not to say those were bad cards, but this was just, something was in the water, man. These dudes were going crazy. These men and women, they were going crazy, man. What was going on over there, bro? What do you think they gave to the fighters before the fights?
I think a lot of people put caution to the wind, man. They came out there looking for the finish. They didn't come out there hoping to get a decision or, you know, to be on the safe side. I think everybody put caution to the wind, and they was going for the win, not trying to put it in the judges' hands. And when people fight like that, that's the kind of outcomes you get. Just looking at it, like, look at the Michael Chandler Dustin Poirier fight. I think if Chandler probably had maybe, well, if Dustin had maybe 30 more seconds in the first round, he may have finished Chandler in the first round. And then Chandler comes out in the second round like he was still hurt. And then he dominated the second round. But once again, Michael Chandler, he fades away as the fight goes on. He actually looked pretty good in the second round, but I think the reason why he looked good in the second round is because he did a lot of wrestling. But it was a great fight. Adesanya, I don't think people say that's the best fight they've seen him fight because they want to see him lose. I think when you look at his title fights, tell me which title fight he had since he's been a champion. Now, we ain't going to talk about all his fights leading up to him winning the belt because he put on some good fights in that time period. But outside of him winning the belt, his first fight against Bobby Knuckles, tell me which championship fight he had that was actually not a snooze fest. And I think that's why people were saying this was probably his best fight. But I think the one part they forgot is in a long time. This is best fight in a long time. Or I wouldn't even say best fight. I would say this is more action-packed fight in a long time.
We'll get back to that in a little while, but I want to ask you about this one. First of all, Molly McCann got absolutely dominated. And I just want to put it out there that who is it?
Aaron Blanchfield.
That's my girl now. That's my girl. And it's so funny because it's not because she beat Molly. It's not because of who versus who and who. It's I like Molly. You know, I've been writing about Molly since 2019. People didn't even know who Molly was. I was writing articles about Molly. So it is what it is. But regardless, some of us kind of knew what it was. You know, her last couple wins kind of could see. But, like, even though it was enjoyable to watch the win streak Molly had, I think some of us could kind of see, like, all right, she's kind of getting favorable matchups. And once she broke into the top 15, they tried to give her somebody who was actually a killer, and she lost, you know, and she kind of got dominated. So it is what it is. It happens. You know, she ran into somebody that was better than her. You know, Aaron Blanchfield is clearly much better than her, and it is what it is. It happens all the time in this game, so there's really no shame in that. You know, I'm still a fan of Molly, but I'm definitely a fan of Aaron Blanchfield now, and it's funny because we were just talking about that last week, and I was just saying how there's only, like, two or three females that I check for, as in, like, I really want to tune into her fight, and the rest of them I really don't care much to talk about. But Erin Blanchfield, man, I personally, I think she's cute, and I also think that she's a beat in the octagon, and I'm going to be checking for her fights now. So that just added one more to Key's list of female fighters to watch. So it is what it is, bro. What do you think about that fight? What happened?
I liked her fight. She is very easy on the eyes. So you know that makes her somebody to keep your eye out on. But it's like you said, man, Molly, man. It was like once she got in the top 15, top 10, you just could see that she's been overmatched. And me and you always say this, is that when people start getting in the top 12, the top 10, that's when we're going to see whether or not you for real or not. Because you are now fighting the creme de la creme in your division, in your weight class. And for you to be taken seriously, you got to win some of those fights. I think Molly, I think she still has a lot of fight in her. But at the same time, it's like, do I really want to see her fight anymore? At this point in time, I probably don't want to see her fight in the UFC. I probably want to see her, like, fight in the PFL, you know, like tournament style where you know you're going to be fighting every 4 months or something like that. But as far as, like, the UFC and her being a top 15 fighter, I think those days are behind her. I think Erin Blanchfield is definitely the future. But I want to see how they do Miss Blanchfield's matchmaking going forward. Because the spot they had her on the card, they had her on the prelims. So you can pretty much tell where they have people at on the card, what they think about them. So I think they either see her as being a future contender or a star. So, but I just want to see how they match make her in her next fight, and I'll definitely be checking for it. But Molly, I think maybe her best days are behind her in the UFC. I normally say this when fighters start to hit a rough patch. It might be time to switch up camps to see whether or not you can add some different stuff to your game. But I think she's been such a staunch veteran that she probably super loyal to her camp, and she probably might not want to go that route. But I would advise her that maybe try to go somewhere else and see whether or not you can add some more things to your toolbox and probably keep you in the top 15 or make it so the UFC can't cut you because you're still talented and you put on good fights. But it'll be totally up to her what she does. But I would rather see her in PFL, man. That's just me.
That's yet to be seen. Probably in the next couple of weeks we'll know. You'll probably see Molly take some time off and then maybe we'll hear something. But Erin Blanchfield, so looking forward to hearing about her next fight announcement. I mean, she pretty much took no damage in that fight, so I could see her getting back in there pretty soon. I honestly wouldn't mind them getting her on this Perth card coming up, man. This Perth card is looking damn good. This Perth card, they got a couple announcements out there, and I'm pretty happy with the fights so far. But before we you know, tap into that at all, we're going to run through 281. So, yeah, we're waiting to see that. Another question I have for you, and this is probably my last thing with the prelims, is I'm going to ask you this. Dominic Reyes versus Ryan Spann. This is my question to you. She laughing at it, bro. Come on. Let me work. So,
Dominic
Reyes versus Ryan Spann. This is my question to you. Is it either A, Dominic Reyes is not as good as we thought he was, or B, is Ryan Spann better or a lot better than we thought he was. What you think, bro?
I want to say, damn, Keys, what's a hell of a question, man. All right, I'm going to go with it this way.
Thank you.
And maybe I'll answer it, you know, the way that you want me to answer. I have always thought Dominique Reyes was overrated. I have always felt that way because ever since his John Jones fight, everybody been saying, you know, he proclaimed himself as the uncrowned champ and all this and all that. And then he immediately went in the tank after the John Jones fight. I never thought he was that good. I just thought he fought above his head one night. And sometimes people get in a title fight and they do that. So, but I never thought he was that good. Now, my man Ryan Spann, you know, he been kind of sort of, you know, alternating wins and losses. I want to say his last fight was against, the last time I personally saw him fight was Anthony Smith, and he looked very bad in that fight. But the guy, for some strange reason, when you want to count him out, he comes up with big wins. This is second win in a row. Going against a former number one contender title challenger, and he put on night. Now, I don't know what the UFC doing with their rankings, but for him to only move on two spots after beat Dominique Reyes, you know, that is what it is. But always, and I've been consistent with this, I never thought Reyes was that good. So that's just me.
Well, I'm going to say this. I think I'm going to lean towards B. I think Ryan Spann's a lot better than at least I thought he was. Obviously, Reyes, if you look at the guys he's been losing to, he lost to Jerry, the current champion, who I don't really believe in even at this point, but we'll get to that pretty soon. I don't have much belief in Jerry, but we'll get to that. He lost the current champion. He lost to the former champion, Jan. And he lost, I think, maybe to another guy. I don't remember who it was. And then he just lost to Ryan Spann. So the quality of guys he's losing to, he's losing to champions. So that's something to note. But I do think it leans still towards Ryan Spann is a lot better than we thought he was. And what really blew my mind, and I'm sure you were probably taken back by this too, is I think it was Joe Rogan after the fight asked Ryan Spann, what did you do differently this time? And Ryan Spann said, I trained. He said, I trained. And
yeah.
Joe Rogan was like, what do you mean? And he was like, oh, yeah, well, all these fights I did, I wasn't training. I was just coming in and fighting. And I'm like, yo, this guy's wild, man. Lee, you got to get your boy Ryan Spann, bro. He's wilding out. He said he did all those fights, and he never trained for him, man. And now he finally trained, and he just put on a crazy performance, knocking out Reyes and, you know, make it easy work of him in the first round. So if he looks like that and all he did was actually train, man, Ryan, but you got to actually train, bro. You wilding out. Like, if you look that much better just from – it's like, dog, every fight is, like, training, bro. Like, I think you got to take this a little more seriously if you're going to come in looking that good. Like, I think you got to – I think it's on your plate to train a little harder, bro. I think you got to – I think or at least just keep training, you know. You just got to keep training, bro. Come on. Like, if it makes that difference, you know, just from doing what you're already supposed to do, man, I think you owe it to yourself to train for the next fight too, bro. That's what I have to say about that. And two is that him only going up two spots is absolutely disrespectful. I don't know who came up with that, but that's insane. He should be going up 4 to 5 spots minimum. Minimum. 4 to 5 minimum. That is insane that he only went up 2 spots. The disrespect. What do you mean he went up 2 spots? What do you mean? He should be. I know sometimes we say it's bullshit when guys take other guys' spots. I don't think it's always, but it depends on like where they're at. Like, what was it? who took like the number two when he beat him? Was it Chimaev took? Someone did it recently, and they jumped up like Sean O'Malley did it. He went up like 10 spots and took the number one spot from Peter Yan. So I think we thought that was a little bit iffy, but there is always the defense of, okay, well, if you beat that guy, you do have some claim to take his spot. So I do think that is fair. When you're jumping, you know, the way Sean O'Malley jumped at I make a head turn a little bit, but that's not the same thing as what they just did to Ryan Spann. How are you going to tell me he only was up two spots after he just starched Reyes, who in my opinion, beat John Jones? How are you going to say that he only moved up two spots? He should move up at least 4 to 5 spots. At minimum, if Reyes was at number 9 or number 8, Ryan Spann should at least be one rank below where Reyes was. If he just beat Reyes, you don't have to put him above him, but you got to at least put him close to him. He should not be multiple ranks below Reyes when he just devastated him in the first round. I mean, really. Like, he should be – if Reyes is number 8, Spann at the lowest should be number 9. If Reyes is 7, Spann should be at the lowest, rank 8. If not, take Reyes' number, because that's insane. And I don't know what they're trying to do, if you're trying to make him do more fights, but that's insane. The fact that he's not even – come on, son. Like, who's doing these rankings, man? Like, you got guys in there, like, all these divisions that are barely – like, haven't won fights in years. And you got them in the top 10. Ryan Spann just destroyed, you know, a title challenger and multiple-time title challenger, destroyed him. And he's not making, like, come on, son. Y'all just playing favorites at that point. That's just playing favorites is what that is.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the rankings. Dominic Reyes fell 5 spots to number 12, so that means he was number 7 coming into the fight. So Ryan Spann was number 12 coming into the fight, and he rose up to number 10. Normally, we normally see guys switch positions in fights. Now, do I think – I think Spann is maybe as good as Uzdemir, who's number 9. Paul Craig is good, but he don't have a stand-up game. Krylov is number 7. Then our boy Jamal Hill is number 6. So I would probably say 9. Maybe 8 would have been the highest I would go. But for him to only go 2 spots after being Reyes is just ridiculous, man. And you'll never get a reason why. So especially after the performance and the way he beat Reyes, I thought he should have went up. I thought he should have been inside the top 10 instead of number 10. So I agree with you on that, bro.
Yeah, man. So y'all got to figure that out. The next thing we're going to get to is and I don't have too much to say because I don't want to take up too much time, but Poirier and Chandler, I just hope both of them got 50K. That was a great fight. Chandler actually did exactly – Chandler fought – not exactly, but very close to the way I wanted him to fight. He did exhaust himself trying to throw kill shots in the first round, which I always say he shouldn't do. I wish he would just pace himself better and not try to get someone out of there in the first round every time. He did do that, but then what I did like is that he actually used his wrestling. He dumped Poirier on his head like 3 or 4 times. At one point, he picked like his whole body. It was like, And that was what created the ending sequence, was off of Chandler pretty much body slamming Poirier, but then Poirier, you know, found his neck. He's a jiu-jitsu black belt, you know, understandable. You may get choked out by a black belt. That could happen. So, but good on Chandler for even using this wrestling, man. I've been fucking waiting for this, and I think he did much better than he would have in that fight if he didn't. I think Chandler probably would have got stopped in that fight in the second round. I think Poirier would have TKO'd him in the second round with the way the fight was looking if he didn't wrestle in the second round. So props to him. Shout out to Michael Chandler. I'm glad that he fought that way, and your stock did not go down in my book. I think your stock stayed exactly where it was. If not, it went up because you decided to use your wrestling, and I think that's where he'll find more success, is not just trying to stand and bang the whole fight, every fight. I think if you have more skills, you use more skills. You don't just say you're a wrestler and not do it like Justin Gaethje does. So that's cool. Shout out to Chandler.
And Keys, and the only reason Chandler used his wrestling was because he was still hurt from the first round. It was like, bro, your wrestling is actually pretty good. His wrestling was better than I thought it was, because I don't think I ever seen him wrestle. And the Tony fight, it was a stand-up fight. The Gaethje fight was a stand-up fight. The Oliveira fight was a stand-up fight. He beat the hell out of Hooker, so that don't even count. But it's like, sometimes use your wrestling to set up your striking. Use your wrestling to kind of sort of save some of your cardio. But he only used the wrestling out of desperation, which to me is kind of dumb. But he can put on good fights. I can't say that any fight that I've seen of his that wasn't good, except the Hooker fight, and that was to be expected. But, you know, he is high, put on highly entertaining fights. But to answer your question, Wadi Zhang got a performance of the night bonus. Alex Pereira got a performance of the night bonus. And fight of the night was Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler. So you was right on point with that one. But yeah, man. Then you know Chandler, you know, he, after the fight, you know, he ain't really like go bananas or nothing on the microphone, you know, but at the post press conference, you know, they asked him about fighting Conor. And he was like, why wouldn't I want to fight him? It'd be the biggest payday, you know, in my career, probably. You know, it'd be more eyes on to see me fight. But do I really want to see Conor versus Michael Chandler? Especially Chandler after the first round. Chandler, if he makes it out the first round, I just don't understand. How can you just be a one-round fighter? Even Mike Tyson wasn't a one-round fighter, and he was king of knocking people out in the first round. But it was a great fight. You know, Dustin came out on fire in the first round. You know, there was a lot of back-and-forth action in the first round. I thought, well, it ain't that I thought. Chandler dominated Poirier on the mat in the second round, and then he made a mistake in the third round. Going for a takedown, he allowed Dustin Poirier to slide up out of it and then put a body lock in, put a body triangle on him, and he couldn't go nowhere, and eventually Dustin locked the choke in. So, but you posed this question, I want to say, on Twitter. And it was a great question. Do I really want to see Islam versus Dustin? Not really. Because, like you said, Islam is Khabib number two. And Poirier wants it. Poirier's going to have to sell it. He's going to be the one to have to sell the fight. He's going to have to, like, say that Islam isn't as good as Khabib. That he's going to have to talk about Islam striking, being worse than Khabib's, and he's going to have to start name-dropping all the people he'll beat. So I don't think the UFC fans want to see it. I can see him the way Poirier lost to Khabib. But at the same time, Poirier now has to make the fight. If he really wants it, he has to be loud about making the fight on social media. Every time a microphone in his face, and that's the only way he can get that fight is by being loud about it.
Yeah, I don't really know how you even I don't even know how you saw that one, but what I would say though is shout out to Wiley Zhang, man. Shout out to Wiley Zhang. That, yo, I want to say I said second round knockout. I want to say you said second round knockout. She did close to that. It was a second round submission, and she pretty much made Carla Esparza look pretty bad, man. I think that fight was pretty close to how we said that it would go, and I mean, we were both right in the prediction. Wiley Zhang's the new champion. We definitely don't need to see a rematch. Wiley Zhang, shout out to Wiley Zhang. Great performance. I think you go her. I think you go her and Amanda Lemos next, man. I didn't even watch that last fight with Lemos and Marina Rodriguez, but I know what happened. And I just feel like based on the fights that have recently happened, I think that's really the only contender there. In that division, I see some people saying Wiley should go up and fight Valentina. I mean, I guess that's an option. What do you think about that fight, and just overall, what do you think should be next?
I think Wiley should want to fight Rose Namajunas. She hasn't beaten her. Rose took the belt from her when she was a champion the last time, and she should probably have some kind of competitive, you know, inks to her saying that, yo, I want to fight Namajunas. Even though it's probably going to be more personal and professional because, you know, when you lose to somebody twice and the first time they knocked you out, you know, it's kind of personal. You want you want to get that win back for your own personal vindication. So I like Wiley probably stand down at strawweight, most likely fighting on Rose Namajunas. And, you know, people was talking about Esparza versus Young Jacek. Joanna is out, man. She's trying to have babies now. And plus, do we really want to see that fight again? The way I want to say that Esparza got beat up in that fight? No, I don't want to see that. If anything, I would rather see Esparza probably try to move up to 125 and test her skills up there. So, but Wiley, you got to fight Rose. You got to fight Rose, and I'm a human ass to me. And if I was her, I wouldn't want nobody but her for my next fight because I have to prove to myself that I can beat her. Until I can beat her, I can't look at myself as being a true champion. I might have the belt, but am I the true champion? You there, bro? Okay.
Oh, man, I was muted. My bad. Yeah, Namajunas, I don't know how you could sell that one, man. I mean, I left the room last time she fought. I went and started making drinks in the kitchen because that fight was so terrible that I couldn't even bear to watch it. So, Rose, man,
well, that was
I don't know.
But I was against Esparza, though. I don't think she could fight like that against Wiley Zhang, though. I think Zhang will make her have to fight because of the way she always coming forward. I don't think she could have a snoozer against Wiley.
Yeah, I get you. I'm just saying it doesn't really move the needle with me. But if they want, I mean, Rose already beat her twice. But like, how do you really sell a trilogy when? I mean, I know they've been doing that lately. They did Holloway, but Holloway at least made the second fight close. So I don't really think either fight. I mean, she knocked her out, and then Rose kind of dominated her with the wrestling. I don't really think either fight was. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's the same situation as that. So how do you do a trilogy? But, I guess so.
Hold on. Wasn't the second fight closer than the first fight? I thought the second fight, Wiley and Rose, was a lot closer.
I don't know. I thought Rose beat her pretty clearly, though. I didn't really think it was like, do you see people debating that fight? Like, when Holloway and Volkanovski fought second time, like, people still debate that fight today. Like, Was it close like that?
I thought Holloway won that fight. To this day, I still feel like Holloway won that second fight.
Right. So exactly. So that. But that just speaks to how close it was. You don't really see people saying that about Rose and Wiley Zhang. Like, no one's really debating. Like, it's kind of like we accept what the outcome was, but like you still people debating that Holloway fight, because it's like it really was paper thin like that. Like, it really was razor sharp close. Like, how
but
do you really get?
But the second fight, it was a split decision, though, Keys. The second fight against Rose was a split decision. It wasn't a unanimous decision. And it went all five rounds. So, I mean, for it to be a split decision, it had to go the distance. But what I'm saying is it was a split decision. Let me see, can I see what they scored it? Because, now that I think about it, this fight was close. The only reason Nami Yunes won this fight is because at the time, Wiley couldn't get up. She couldn't – her wrestling wasn't as good as it is as it was Saturday against Esparza. It wasn't as good. Let me see. Can I find that? Yeah, I got it right here. Okay, so that fight, the scores were 48-47. 49-46, 48-47. Now, 49-46, I think, was kind of suspect. I think some people was kind of mad about the 49-46 because basically 49-46 was four rounds to one, and I think Wiley at least won two rounds in that fight from what I recall.
And maybe you could throw it there. I don't know. Let's see what they do, man. I don't even really care about that division, to be honest. I don't know. I mean, that'd be cool, but I just feel like, you know, you have the same people fighting, and Rose kind of put that snooze on. So, and maybe that would bring it out. But I don't know. But Rose beat her. Why does Rose even? I don't know, man. I don't know. Y'all might gotta. You from that one up, see what match y'all want to make. It doesn't really matter too much to me. Let me put this out to you though. We can close up 281 because I know you want to talk your shit about that Perth card, man. I know you got stuff to talk about with that. Obviously, Adesanya and Pereira was a close fight. Adesanya to me showed some new notches to his game in there, I thought, and some people say he had to do that because he was losing. I think that's true, especially when he was up 3-1 going into the fifth round. I don't think he was really losing, but that's cool. A lot of Izzy hate, you know, that's come, you know, this whole time and still now. People want to run the fight back. I mean, I'm not dying to see them fight again immediately. I'd like to see them go. Pereira versus the Wolf. I think they should feed him to the Wolf. I think that should be the next fight. Chimaev already called him out. I think he actually called him out for that first card too, I'm pretty sure. And I wouldn't mind seeing that fight. I'm not a fan of this Pereira guy, man. I just don't really care for his attitude. I don't like the way he talks. He's pretty much all arrogance to me. I don't really care for dudes like that. And I just think he's also he's a one-trick pony, like you would say. I mean, what really does he do that's spectacular? I'm trying to figure it out. He's a pretty high-level kickboxer. We already kind of know that, but besides that, what does he really have? And when it really comes down to that, I wasn't really blown away by his striking, to be honest. It's just the power. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, I didn't really think that he looked incredible. You know, I really didn't think that. I just see power when I see that dude. Okay, he has he has a death touch, you know, but Francis Ngannou has a death touch too. But when Francis Ngannou ran into Cyril Gane, they said Cyril Gane was out striking him. So, you know, having power isn't a long-term thing. You know what I mean? That's not going to win you all these fights, you know. And the arrogance that comes with it, I just don't care for the guy. And obviously, I mean, he gets props. You know, he beat Adesanya, he beat him fair and square, but that doesn't make me a fan. I think, you know, there's people on Twitter saying he's the best. I seen some guys saying he's the best combat sports athlete of all time. I see guys rating him higher than Anderson Silva. And I'm trying to figure out where this is coming from, man. I just think he's getting completely blown out of proportion in the overrated category. I'm lost where people became such huge fans at, but I'm not a fan at all. And I'm just leave it at that. I think you feed him to the wolf next. What you think, bro?
Wow, I'm kind of shocked by what you said. You said you don't like him because he's arrogant, but Adesanya is probably one of the most arrogant fighters in the UFC. But that's neither here nor there. I think if he fights, if Pereira fights on the Wolf, it's going to be a quick fight, because you just can tell that when Pereira and Adesanya was trying to wrestle, it just looked like two fish out of water. Neither one of them looked comfortable. It looked downright awkward. I was just like, ref, just stand them up just because. So you can stop hurting our eyes with this quote-unquote wrestling slash grappling that neither one of them are good at. But I had two issues with the main event. The first one is I thought me and you, we talked about this. I want to say maybe 2 years ago, if not longer. Pereira looked like he weighed about 225 in that fight. He looked like he could have been almost a legit heavyweight in that fight. I don't like that you weigh in at a certain weight, and then you can hydrate up to as much as big as you want to going into the fight. I thought that put Adesanya at a disadvantage because, number one, he's fighting a bigger guy. Although the guy weighed in at the same weight as him, but on Saturday, that guy was nowhere near the size of Adesanya. Adesanya may fluid it back up, had a meal, and probably was, what, about 15, 20 pounds heavier. And, you know, okay. But this guy, Pereira, looked like every bit of a light heavyweight going in a heavyweight. So I didn't like that part of it. But the part I really didn't like about it is everybody calling it an early stoppage. It wasn't an early stoppage, man. Yeah, Pereira missed three of his last four shots he threw. But when Izzy was trying to stand up, the only reason he was standing up was because he was propped up against Pereira when he had both his hands on his shoulder. It was a good stoppage. Izzy was basically out on his feet. But Izzy and Usman, sometimes you got to play the game, Keith. You're up three rounds to one. Why even take a chance of getting hurt or getting knocked out? This guy landed on a lucky shot. What you do is you put your jab out there. You keep throwing your jab to keep him on his back foot. That way he's not pressuring you. But to be there and standing in front of somebody after you done felt this power, no, you don't do that, man. You do everything you can to win the fight. And I thought Izzy failed at that. And I don't know what his corner was saying at the time, but they shouldn't have been telling him to engage. They should have been telling him, we're going to pop, pop, back up, throw some leg kicks, back up. And But going into the fight also, I wanted to see Izzy in a fight. That's what I said on Wednesday. I was like, I want to see him in a fight because all his title matches have been, quote, unquote, not entertaining to me. May have been entertaining to some folks, but when it comes to me and my purpose of fights, he has not been entertaining at all since he has become the champion.
Well, I'm going to close it on this thought, is that I think your position of all that is from a point of not liking him already. And
that's
not true. Bruh, you don't like him already. And that's, bruh, don't do that. Don't do that. Because I thought his fight with Paulo Costa, I think that that was a great performance. I don't think that was boring at all. I liked his Whitaker 2 fight. I like that performance. I was very entertained watching that fight. Like, he has a handful of fights since he won the champ that I liked and some that I didn't like. But not all of them have been boring. And I don't really see – I don't see him as arrogant. I don't see what makes him arrogant. I mean, I think he responds to dudes that are already assholes to him, like John Jones. That's where you see him be arrogant. But John Jones is the king of being arrogant to me. And that's why I'll never be a fan of him. Those are the moments where you see Adesanya be arrogant, is when he responds to assholes like that. Or like Paulo Costa, you see him be arrogant. Or to Vittori, who he's a jerk too. All these guys that already say stupid things. So what do you think makes him arrogant, though?
Let me see. The way he talks after he wins the fight. That nobody can touch me. I'm in here doing my job, you know, and if you don't like it, you don't like it. What else? Some of his entrances make him kind of arrogant.
If you don't like it, you don't like it. I don't think that makes him arrogant, bro. I think if you don't like it, you don't like it. How's that arrogant?
But
what is
that's
he supposed
the same
to say?
Thing you said about Pereira, though. You just said Pereira was talking crazy, and some of the stuff Izzy said can be viewed as him talking crazy. It all depends on.
I don't know.
The
I don't think that's the same thing, man. This guy Pereira is. He thinks he's a like he talk the way he talks like he's a god amongst men. You know what I mean? And I just don't. I guess we have the same. A different perspective, we see the same thing in a different person, but I just don't think Adesanya is – I don't think he presents himself that way. I feel like he's a dude that's definitely very confident in his ability, which you should be, but I just – this dude, Pereira, just is like – I don't know. I just don't – I don't think he's on the level that he puts himself at. That's what I'm saying. And I think that it's like – I don't know. We just they agree to disagree on that. I don't know. It's clearly one of those things where, you know, one of us sees something the other one doesn't see in somebody. But I don't think it's presented in the same way. Like for your example of if you don't like it, you don't like it. I don't think is – I just don't – I think that's – you're giving an attitude towards the fans, but I don't think that's arrogance, though. I think that's just – that's a way of handling it. It's like – you don't have to like it. My job is to win. If I'm the champion, my job is to stay the champion. Like, it's not to get in these slugfests that the fans want to see where I could, you know, jeopardize my long-term health and possibly lose my title. You know, like, I think that's just a way, being a champion, of responding to fans that want to see fights like that. If he counter-strikes and knocks the guy out, that's, to me, that's a good performance. Like you finish a guy and you keep your belt. That's a good performance.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that. But when he says stuff like he said that ain't considered like pretentious, snobbish, high and mighty. That I'm here to do this and I'm gonna do it my way. That doesn't. that doesn't make him arrogant?
I mean, I guess to you it does. I don't really. I'm in here. I don't see. It's just. It's like a deflection. I don't think that's a way of. Like I feel like I already answered it. Like I don't think. I don't know what he's supposed to respond like. I don't know what he should say. I mean, you see the way people hate on him. You see the things that people say about him. At what point, like, do you just say, all right, I'm giving, like, a one response to all these people and this is how I'm going about it? Like, what should you respond to people that want to see you lose every single time you fight? Like, how are you supposed to appease people like that, that just want to see you lose? Like, the fact that you did what you had to do to win is going to make them mad. Like, how do you respond to dudes that will only be happy when you lose?
Well, you don't respond. You respond to your fans. You tell your fans, thanks for your support. Thanks for backing me. I put this performance on for you guys, and see you for the next one. People that don't like you, they going to find every reason not to like you. And most of the great ones, most people going to watch their fight to do what? Watch them lose, not win. But I also picked Adesanya to win this fight. I thought he would do enough to keep Pereira at bay, and he wouldn't let Pereira be able to land those shots. But he just didn't have a smart fifth round. He had an Usman fifth round against Leon Edwards, if we really want to be honest. He had an Usman versus Leon Edwards fifth round. That's all. That's the only reason why he lost. I mean, he was doing everything possible, you know, to win the fight, but he just didn't finish it. Yeah.
And it's crazy we had two of those in 1 year. Either way, you know, we get back to this a little bit the next time, but the thing I want to close out on is we were talking about this Perth card that's coming up in February. And you were saying the other day that you disagree with me saying it was a great fight. And what I was saying was that Robert Whittaker, who's my favorite fighter, Robert Whittaker versus
Paulo Costa,
you both like Bobby
Knuckles.
Fight.
Oh, I don't think so, Keith. I think Whittaker is going to dominate him, bro. I don't think anything in the octagon that Costa can do better than Whittaker.
Yeah, but it's not, to me, when I say it's a great fight, it's not about do I think what this guy can beat him. I don't think it's, I think overall it's two guys who put on great fights. I think win or lose, Paulo Costa is almost always a part of a great fight. And I think the same thing about Robert Whittaker. I think win or lose, he's always part of a great fight. Paulo Costa has pretty much only put on great fights, win or lose. So that's what it comes down to. It's not whether I think, you know, I do think that Robert Whittaker is going to beat him down, but I think that about mostly all these guys. I think Whittaker is going to beat down everybody. I think he will, and I think Robert Whittaker will beat down Pereira too, just for all the, you know, all those people. So let that one go, and Whittaker will beat him down too. But that's the thing, is that I'm saying great fight in terms of it being two guys who put on great fights. I think it's a great matchup. So I think it'll be super competitive. Not really. I mean, it might be slightly competitive. I don't think it's going to be – I don't think it's like razor close. I think Whittaker's notch is better than Paulo Costa. So when you break it down, that's one of the more specifics to me. That's the more specifics to me. But is it a great fight? I'm saying that in terms of being two guys who put on great fights that are getting matched up. That's what I'm saying. And it's two guys who are both entertaining that are fighting each other. That's what I'm saying in terms of that. And I'm pretty much saying the same thing when I didn't call when if I refer to Islam versus Volkanovski as a great fight, I'm saying it in the same sense of that. Do I think it's going to be competitive is into the more specifics of it, which we get to after. But in the first on paper thing, and is what you're saying, I'm saying on paper it's a great fight, and overall it is Volkanovski versus Islam is right now is technically the number one pound for pound versus number two pound for pound, but it is two guys who both put on great fights and both have great performances and are both one of the best fighters in the UFC fighting each other. So I'm saying it's a great fight in that sense, but do I think it's going to be competitive? Maybe a little bit, but it's, I don't think it's going to be super competitive, but it's the same thing. I'm saying great fight in terms of two guys, you know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and that's where me and you differ. Whereas I can see on paper when you say you got number one versus number two pound for pound, when you see it on paper, you're like, oh, man, this is a great fight. Or you got the number two guy fighting the number three guy in the weight division. You know, that's a pretty good fight. Whereas me, I look at the competitive, do I think it's going to be a competitive fight? If I think it's going to be a competitive fight, then I consider that a great fight. Because I'm going in and thinking, I don't know who's going to actually win this fight. Whereas when I look at Islam versus Volkanovski, I look at it like, Volkanovski, you're a little small for this weight division, and you're going against a guy who smothers everybody on the mat. Whereas the only time we really seen you quote-unquote wrestle is by taking down Max Holloway and really not doing anything when you was in a top position. So when I look at it that way, I just don't think that's going to be a competitive fight. And when I say that Paulo Costa versus Robert Whittaker, yes, it's a great fight on paper. But for me and my personal preference, I don't think it's a great fight because I just don't think there's anything Paulo Costa does in the octagon that's better than Bobby Whittaker. He might hit harder than him, maybe. But do I think he can beat him? No. But, yeah, I feel what you're saying about, you know, it's a great match when it comes to it on paper. But I just look at it when I'm looking at their skill sets going against each other when the octagon door is locked, do I think it'll be a great fight? That's how I look at fights, bro.
No, I get it. So what I'm saying is, so when you have those two, so we established that. I'm saying when you have those two, and then they just announced they're doing an interim featherweight title fight. I don't know if you saw that, but they're doing interim featherweight title fight, Josh Emmett versus Yair Rodriguez, which I think is dope. Cause
how you feel about that?
You're probably going to have that right underneath Volkanovski and Islam. So then either way, you can kind of figure out featherweight and not have it sitting there because if Volkanovski loses, then you have his next. If Volkanovski loses, you have the next guy he's fighting ready to go. Whoever wins, if he wins, then I don't know. Either he wants to move back down or he stays there, and that interim title can become the champion or he can fight against someone else. I don't know how they would go, but either way, you kind of have the next step figured out for his actual division while he's fighting in a different division. So, and when you have those three fights, I think that's a high-level card already with those three fights. Regardless if you think they're going to be competitive, I think those three fights, that card is already full of bangers, and you only have three fights in.
Jeez, can I ask you a question, bro? And I know what you're going to say. And I kind of sort of feel, going to feel the same way. But can we be honest for a quick minute? Yair Rodriguez versus Emmett for the interim title, right? I know I saw my own eyes Max Holloway whoop Yair Rodriguez ass. I know I saw that with my own eyes. Why is Yair in this fight?
I mean, I think that they're probably, and this is not the part that I like, but it's the part that I think I'm just trying to figure out where they came up with that. They're probably going off of that fluke that happened when he fought Ortega, and they're saying that they're counting that, and they're saying, oh, he won his last fight, even though Ortega had a freak injury, and that doesn't really count to me. But I think they're I regrettably say they're going off that, and I do feel like that this fight should be. I think this should be Arnold Allen. I think it should be Arnold Allen versus, even though when he just fought Calvin Kattar also had a freak injury. So Arnold Allen's win over him is kind of fluky too, and I don't even really count that. But I do think Arnold Allen already had the win streak even before that, and I think it would be fair to put him in there over Yair Rodriguez 100%, being that he is on a long win streak, and Yair did get beat down by Max Holloway and then has a freak win over Ortega. So I think it should be fight Arnold Allen versus Josh Emmett. I would like to see. I think that would be the two guys. Yeah, I don't know why Yair's in there. I actually don't know. So is that what you thought I was going to say?
Yeah, I mean, you basically on the same thing as me, is that why is Yair Rodriguez being rewarded with a title fight?
Yeah, I don't really know. And I think they just got lazy. I think they just got lazy because they don't know, unless they offered it to Arnold Allen. I know people say, like, the guys in his win streak aren't that good. Like, I get what you're saying. And, like, I said a similar thing about Islam, you know, when he was getting his. Like, oh, who is really in his win streak? But he still, when you compare it to Yair Rodriguez, at least he has a win streak. You know what I mean? Like, and he, you know, Calvin Kattar, I need to see the footage of that fight still, but I'm pretty sure Calvin Kattar had a freak injury. And I don't really count that, you know. Like, you TKO a guy, it's like, how'd you TKO him if he had a freak injury? Like, did you really TKO him? I think he just got hurt. So that should be a no contest. So I don't really like that. Guys getting wins off.
Did Calvin Kattar hurt his knee or something?
Yeah, he tore his ACL, bro.
Yeah, so.
He tore his ACL, so how is that? How did Arnold Allen TK? They're saying he TKO'd him in the second round or what it was. How is that a TKO? If he, Calvin Kattar tore his ACL and he couldn't stand up, how is that? You know what I mean? I don't really care for that, but at least Arnold Allen had a long win streak. Regardless of if they're top five guys or whatever, he still has the win streak, and I still think that ranks higher than Yair Rodriguez, who isn't on any win streak. He's on a one-fight win streak, which in that one win is a fluke win over Ortega because Ortega had a freak injury. And then before that, he lost 2-1, if not 3-0, versus Max Holloway. I thought Max Holloway beat him up pretty good, even though, yeah, I thought Yair looked good in the first round. Maybe could have gave him that. And I thought Holloway took over in rounds 2 and 3 and clearly beat him 2-1. So he got beat up by Max Holloway and sent to the hospital, and then he had a fluke win over Ortega. So I think Arnold Allen's win streak ranks higher than that.
I think my problem is, Keys, and I know you probably gonna be like, Lee, get over it, but Max Holloway is ranked number 2 in the division, man, and he's not even considered for the interim title. It's like he's number 2. He done beat almost everybody in it. Well, some of the guys, he done beat them up so much that they ain't even in the top 10 no more. But it's like, damn. I mean, because he lost to Volkanovski 3 times, he shouldn't even be considered for the interim belt. Not even. That just doesn't sit right with me, man. But maybe the UFC knows something that we don't know. Maybe he hurt. Maybe he's moving up. Maybe it's something like that, and we just don't know about it. But that's just crazy that he's not even considered for the belt. And they own rankings. He's the number 1 contender. It's him, Yair, Ortega, Arnold Allen. And Josh Emmett is number 5. So basically you got 5 versus 2 for the belt.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that. Yeah, I do think that it's a little, it is a little weird to think about when you have that, holy shit, Alex, okay, well, I'll wait to point that out after. But yeah, it is a little weird that he wouldn't be considered for it. But you mean, you are right that I am also saying, like, yo, he did lose the Volcano 3 times, man. It's kind of tough to, like, so if Max Holloway goes in there, they might even figure, like, okay, if we put Holloway versus Josh Emmett, he's going to beat him down. If we put him against Yair Rodriguez, he already beat him down. And if we put him versus Arnold Allen, we don't really know, but he might just beat him down. So I think they might be thinking that Holloway is going to beat all these guys, and they're going to have Volcano versus Holloway 4 when one guy's down, you know, 3 fights. So that might be why they did it. And I mean, I kind of understand that. It's like, we're going to put it on a 4th fight when it's not, like, I think a 4th fight is kind of overkill, man. That's too much. I don't even like that they're doing Moreno for the 4th fight.
Yeah, man.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, because at the same time, Holloway is still the number one, and he's still, you know, one of the best featherweights ever. Probably, I mean, arguably the number one best featherweight ever, but some people, I mean, a lot of people have him at 2 behind Aldo. You could have him at 2. I mean, he might be number one when you really think, but yeah, or he might be, I don't know, man. He I don't know, but he's still one of the best featherweights. I mean, there's only been 4 featherweight champions, but I don't know, man. He's arguably the best featherweight ever. You could argue that, I think. Yeah, so I feel you. I got you, bro. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just, to me, I understand the politics of the game, but it's just a bad look when you got number 5 fighting number 2, and number 1 has beaten number 2. Number 1 is beating 2 and 3, and number 4, has Arnold Allen really fought, you know, outside of Calvin Kattar, who has he really fought? You know, it's just crazy to me how they came about that, but it is what it is. I think what they're trying to do, Keys, is they're trying not to have a Alexander Volkanovski, Max Holloway 4. I think they feel that Max will beat maybe Emmett, and they don't want that, because then you'll have to have a 4th fight. So what do you do now? You feed Arnold Allen to Max Holloway? Basically, or you got or Arnold Allen versus Ortega. But any which way it goes, he got to get a fight. I don't know. I just got to see how they gonna do me and your boy, because me and you are big fans of Max Holloway, and I just want to see how they gonna do him, you know, for his next fight, because I hate to see a guy like Max Holloway become a quote unquote gatekeeper.
We could talk about this all night, but I'm gonna leave what I was about to say either for the timeline. Or for next week's show, I'm going to leave it, because I could get way into this topic. So well, I think we'll close it out right there, bro. We'll close it there. And, you know, thank y'all for listening, man. Hit us up on Twitter, at Lee and Keys, capital RT. Tag either one of us or tag our account on Twitter. Hit us up if there's anything we said that you want to get to or whatever. Hit us up on there, man. It's been pretty active lately. Thank everybody for listening, man. I appreciate y'all. Also, I want to say rest in peace to Rumble Johnson, man. Anthony Johnson, when I saw that news, bro, I was kind of sick. And I didn't believe that. You know, when I first saw it, I really was in disbelief. I did not think that it would be Rumble, man. I didn't know. I mean, obviously, you know, he had medical conditions that I was unaware of. I didn't know, you know, what state he was in or what was going on, but I was really sad to see that, bro. Rumble Johnson, that's a solid dude, man. I remember when I was coming back into the UFC, and when I really started watching UFC, that was like one of the guys that was right there that I was watching. I remember watching his second fight with DC at a Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, a couple towns over. That was when I was living at college, and I went to go watch that with my girl and a couple of my guys, and some of her girl went to go watch it. And that he was just one of those dudes at that time. I know I didn't see, you know, his earlier career and some of his shining moments in the UFC, but I did get to see some of them in the UFC, and I'm happy to say that. You know, I got to see, you know, some of his behind the scenes moments too, and I could just tell he was a solid dude, man. You know, I could tell the way that he treated people, and I know, you know, even some of his call-ups. I feel like he was even respectful in his call-ups. You know, I feel like he always respected his opponents, regardless of the fact that they were about to fight in a cage, you know, and I could just tell he was a genuine dude. So that's a tough loss, man, for the community, and just another good one gone too soon. You know what I mean? Another person that you hate to see it, because it's like, it's always the good ones, you know, and he'll definitely be missed in this community, man. Definitely. I'll miss seeing him. You know what I mean? 100%. So, and it's a terrible loss, man. Rest in peace to Rumble Johnson. That's how I'm going to leave it. Leave the floor is yours.
Oh, man, bro. I was with you when I found out that he passed away. And actually, I was going to do the same thing tonight on my clothes, and I was going to dedicate the show to Anthony Rumble Johnson because, man, that guy could hit so hard, man. I don't remember what fight it was. Maybe it was the Gustafson fight. And I thought he had broke Gustafson's neck the way his head was snapping back with how hard he was punching him. But, man, rest in peace, Rumble Johnson. They showed a video of him hugging on Usman when Usman won the belt. And it was like he had won the belt because he was so proud of his teammate at Usman. And, you know, man, I think they released his cause of death today, but I didn't read it. But, you know, he had jumped up and weight. Like, he had jumped up and weight to, like, heavyweight. And he was a really, really big boy the last time I seen him and the picture of him. But gone too soon. Rest in peace, Anthony Rumble Johnson. You know, we dedicate this show to him. You know, live life to the fullest, everybody. You only get one. So you live your life the way you want to live it and treat people good, and you'll be treated good and back. Lee and Key signing off. As always, we're in the show with a peace.